Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. This week we're going to be discussing a man who was sent as a mercy for all of mankind. Now, many of you out there might have ambivalent feelings towards this individual. Some of you have watched the show and you agree with what's in your very nature, that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and the earth. And now there is another piece to that testimony that Muhammad was the last and final messenger sent to mankind, a prophet, just like Jesus, Abraham, Moses, and all the other messengers that were sent. Some of the more serious people in life are getting a little bit tired and they're looking for purpose, the purpose of life. And they've come to Islam seeking this because all the other man-made religions out there, they just don't make sense. But they're just stuck at this very important part. So now we're going to be discussing a little bit, helping you understand, to help you develop a clear understanding about who this man was. And then at the end, God willing, you'll conclude as over 1.5 billion people, closer to actually even over that, have concluded that this man indeed was a messenger sent by the creator of the heavens and earth, Muhammad, peace be upon him. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to discuss this very important topic here on The Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show. This is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, Shaykh?
Alhamdulillah, inshallah.
Thank you for being with us again here on the Deen Show.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Alhamdulillah, always a pleasure having you. And as I open up the program, we talked about somebody could have just been tuning in because they're taking a religion class. And many people have come to Islam by taking a religion class and they come to Islam, that topic, and then they see like, hey, Islam makes sense. Islam is something that's rational, logical. But also there is a lot of misconceptions. But people can't agree, you know, when we give them the truth that there is nothing worthy of worship except the Creator. Many people, almost all of them, they agree to that. But now there's the other part of it, that Muhammad is indeed the messenger of God, and that would include all the preceding messengers, correct? Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all of them. Right. Is this correct, Shaykh?
Right.
So tell us, how important is this, you know, this topic that we're talking about, before we get into studying the life of the last and final messenger so people can be convinced that he indeed was a mercy sent to the world? How important is this topic that we're talking about?
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. For those who believe that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. But before that, even as human beings, we believe that everybody, they have in themselves, in their innate nature, that the creator of the heavens and the earth is one, the provider, the sustainer, and so on. But they needed the messengers to be sent to call the people to worship the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's what was the job of the messengers, from one messenger to the other. The messengers, they were sent to the people to call them to worship the creator of the heavens and the earth alone. So they, human beings, that are in need of this more than they need the food and the drink and life itself. So from one messenger to the other, messengers were sent to their people, to their tribe. And the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to all mankind. So the difference between him and those who before him, his message has to be very comprehensive, has to be perfect, and people can examine that. And also it has to be there for the rest of this life that we live in till the day of judgment, saved, no distortions in it, no change in it whatsoever. And that's why there is no need for another messenger to come. And this is what we see in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. We would see the best human being ever walked on the face of earth, the role model for every human being. The messengers before, you won't get enough information about that life. But if you are a religious person, if you are a husband, if you are in trade, you buy and sell, you want, when we play many roles in our life, you're a child, you're grown up, you're whatever position, whatever situation that we're in, we can have the best example in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how Allah the Most High saved his whole entire life for us, for people to examine that if they want to examine, and also for those who believe to imitate him and to follow him in every single thing, in major, minor issues, in our relationships, in everything. And that's the beauty of it.
That makes sense, because I mean, your PC comes in an instruction manual, your Mac computer comes with an instruction manual. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the human being's more complex than any of these things. So it would make sense that the Creator would send us an instruction manual and with the best of examples. So this is what we want to do today. We want to get into the life of the last and final Mashiach. Let's talk about him briefly. We have a lot of points to cover before he was commissioned by the Creator, because obviously people can see, like, hold on, you know, if people are intelligent, they look at his life, they can see if this something is absurd. You know, this was somebody who, there's no way that he could have been a messenger from God. He's making this stuff up. So hopefully after we go over these small points, they get kind of a good feel, and it would further them to look further into it. So let's talk about him before he was a prophet.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is also, we should encourage everyone to read about his life. Before he was sent as a messenger, his life before was such, in a way, preparing him to be the messenger, to be the final messenger of Allah. He did not know that he is being prepared for this. He was illiterate, so that the miracle that was given to him, which is a miraculous book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nobody can ever bring the like of one line of it, right? And even though he was not able to read and write, but he was given this. But most importantly, one important thing because of the time, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, before he was sent, he was famously called As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the truthful one and the one that is trustworthy. When you look into the life of the Arabs at the time, if you have people that are a bunch of liars, right, and someone in the midst of them and he is very honest and truthful, that sticks out, right? Yeah. People would see that he's honest. It wasn't the case for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people, they were truthful people, meaning they would never lie. They would never say a lie. And there are evidences of this. One of this, there's a long hadith of Abu Sufyan when he met with Heraclius. One of the things that he said, because the king of Romans, he was asking this man, and he was not a Muslim yet, and he was an enemy to the Prophet, and they were in war with the Prophet, peace be upon him. He asked him certain questions to examine and to see how the Prophet is, because they had in the prophecies that the Prophet is about to come. So the questions that he asked him, he answered the questions in a very beautiful way, talking about the Prophet ﷺ in a very fair and just way, exposing all the good things of the Prophet ﷺ when he's his enemy. And he said, I cannot lie. If it wasn't for the people with me, I would have lied. They used to consider lying as a disastrous thing. So having people like this, and to have the Prophet ﷺ among them, before being a messenger, and they will call him As-Sadiq, the truthful one, he has to be super, super truthful person. So when immediately he was sent, alayhi salatu wasalam, and called them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, when people accepted this from him, because he is someone that never speak a lie. The life was in such a way that he was in doing trade and so on, but he was very honest and truthful. People would trust him with his wealth and the best manners even before he was sent as a messenger.
So this was the ruler of Rome at that time, Heraclius. So people can go look this up.
Right.
So he had a statement to say he kind of knew, they were anticipating, weren't they?
Right.
A prophet to come.
Actually, the whole world at the time were waiting for a prophet to come.
The whole world.
The whole world, meaning the Christian world and the Jews were and everyone, because of the prophecies in the books before, and that's why Heraclius, he was knowledgeable in his book, and he was waiting for a prophet to come. And when he heard that someone claims to be a prophet, or they heard about the prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ, and one of his relatives were in Syria making the trade and so on, and he called them, and he answered specific questions, asked them specific questions that from their book, whether his lineage, what he's calling you to do, is he betraying you or not, and things like this, and the question of the lying and so on. Abu Sufyan said something interesting before he was not a Muslim. Heraclius asked him, does he betray the people? Does he betray you? He said, we are in a treaty with him now, and we're not sure whether he is going to break it or not. Abu Sufyan, he said, this was the only pass that I can say, because everything else, it shows him to be the best man ever.
So, and right. Even this Abu Sufyan, this right. this person at that time, who we know later accepted Islam, at that time, so this is only the way I can get him. Like,
right, this is the only way, and it's nothing.
It's nothing, actually. Right. And later he accepted Islam.
Accepted Islam.
So he was an enemy of Islam at that time.
Right.
And he only listed good qualities about the Prophet, peace be upon
him. And Heraclius himself, at the end, he said, if I was with him, I would wash what's underneath his foot.
Okay, this is very important. So Heraclius, the emperor, said if he was with the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would wash his feet.
Right. He realized immediately that this is the messenger that they've been waiting for.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, by the way, if you look at the map of how where the Muslims went at the time or after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, this was, for example, the Sham, Palestine, Syria, this was the Christian world, and Egypt and so on. People entered into the fold of Islam in masses.
Yeah.
People were being taught that there's a messenger is about to come. You know, when, for example, in the churches and so on, people have been taught there's a messenger is about to come. And once the Prophet ﷺ, and they get to know the Prophet ﷺ, people accepted Islam in masses.
In masses. This is amazing. It's amazing. So we're going to take a break and we'll come back with more here on The Dean Show.
I started asking deeper questions.
The question I want people to really ask themselves is, when you come back from a night on the town, you've been drinking, you've been boozing, you've been dancing, you've been hanging out with girls, guys, whatever. Number one, did you improve yourself as a human being? Number two, did you contribute anything to the betterment of humanity? The amazing thing is that the most advanced studies in psychology about human happiness show that these are the two key factors in making people profoundly happy.
I take 5 minutes out of my day and pray to the Creator and none of the creations, and I feel a deep internal peace. And I still have my normal life.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we're talking about the last and final messenger sent to mankind. It makes sense that the Creator who created mankind, the maker of mankind, would send an instruction man, and he did. He sent it with Jesus, peace be upon him. Did Jesus ever call people to worship himself? Or did he ever say he was the explicitly say that I'm the Son of God?
Never, and there's nobody ever can bring a proof of this whatsoever. Something that's supposed to be a principle of faith should be very well known, very well established with evidence and so on and so on. There's not even one evidence clear, not ambiguous, very explicit message from Jesus, peace be upon him, that he would call people to worship him and not the creator of the heavens.
Now, wasn't there a Christian king that the Muslims, they immigrated because they were being tortured and persecuted and boycotted? I mean, the worst of the worst was happening to them. The same persecution that the true followers of Jesus, didn't they go under the same ridicule and persecution? They were fed to the dogs. The Rome was lit up by them. They were made like fire cannibals, you know, and so much, so many atrocities to those people who are true believers in the one God. Mm-hmm. Now, didn't the king at that time, he actually was a Christian, but he wasn't one who believed in a Trinity. He believed in one God, and later he accepted Islam. Isn't this true? Can you talk about this?
That's the king of Abyssinia, Najashi. I think in English,
yes.
He was a Christian, and he was in Abyssinia. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, when the people in Mecca, they were so much persecuted and hurt and tortured and so on, he ordered the weak among them, those who did not have a support in Mecca, to migrate to Abyssinia. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, there's a just ruler there. Go there and stay there till the matter becomes better. So when they went there, and the people of Quraysh, the disbelievers, they sent after them some of the people to convince the king to take them back and to continue to prosecute them. So when the believers, when the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they met this king and they explained to him who they are and what the Prophet ﷺ is, immediately this person, he said, this is the final messenger. This is the messenger of God. This is the one that comes after Jesus, peace be upon him. And he accepted the religion of Islam. And when he died in Abyssinia, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he prayed Salatul Janazah, the funeral prayer on him in Medina, because he died in the state of Islam. He accepted Islam immediately because, again, they were waiting for the Prophet. They get to know his qualities that it's mentioned in the books.
And he actually, I mean, when the Jafir, radiallahu anhu, when his companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he was asked about Islam, you know, what you guys believe, you know, this was a Christian king at that time. What did he say about the difference between us? And he, to prove this point, he illustrated with a twig, with a leaf branch, was something very, very small.
Right. And he mentioned that their life before, they were just people of ignorance and forgetfulness, and they would kill each other, and they would, you know, fight with each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent from someone that is among them, from one of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ordering them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, to be kind to the kin and kith, and to feed the poor, and to do what is righteous, and to establish the prayers, and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transformed their life from the life of ignorance to the life of knowing the purpose of their life and worshipping the creator of the heavens and the earth and being kind to others and so on. So when he heard this and he heard the message that this is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he immediately accepted it.
He accepted it. That's amazing. And he was a Christian who didn't believe now in a lot of these beliefs that just don't make sense, because none of the other prophets taught that a man is God, right, or that, you know, the creator had a literal son. Can we say that, you know, back then, if they used the word son of God, this was someone who was close to God, a pious person?
Right, and that's what's actually mentioned, that they're everybody, all the righteous people are sons of God, in the sense that this is not a physical,
not physical
relationship, nothing. It's just a matter of being righteous and so on.
Yeah.
And actually, by the way, most of the Christian world at the time, they were in the true belief of Jesus, peace be upon him. Like the people in Egypt and so on. Many of them, they were on the Tawheed, on the oneness of worship.
On the pure monotheism.
Yes.
Because, I mean, when we have people, I don't want to go too deep into this, but when you really stop and think, because people, they just say, son of God, son of God. But when you stop and think, it just doesn't make sense. Because we know cats have kittens, dogs have puppies. What does God have? A baby God? Right. So you have two gods. Now you have something that's just way out there. Doesn't make sense.
Right. And what happened to the people before Jesus, peace be upon him? Mm-hmm. What was the religion of Abraham, peace be upon him? He didn't know the right God to worship. He was worshiping the one in the heavens. That's it. And
yeah.
That's why there's no such a thing as an invention that all of a sudden people realize there's something new. It's the same thing for every messenger.
Yeah.
And that's why when you would not find a more perfect way to believe in all the messengers of Allah, all of them, from Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, except in this true and beautiful way of life. Otherwise, you're inventing your own religion with your own belief and prove it, and there's no proof whatsoever.
Yeah, I can keep going. I want to stick to this because I get sidetracked sometimes. So I'm going to go back to some examples. Let's talk about briefly, because I have so much to cover in this short amount of time. How did that? So we said, okay, before prophethood, he was given the title the truthful, trustworthy.
Right.
He had a impeccable character even before prophethood. He never dated, never drank alcohol, never worshipped sticks, stones, or bones. He was on the way of Abraham, right?
Right.
Now, the angel Gabriel mm-hmm. comes to him. How did this happen?
This has happened when the Prophet, before he was sent as a messenger, he was made beloved to him to seclude himself. And he would go right outside the skirts of Mecca and be in a cave there in the mountain, worshipping Allah alone, worshipping the true God, the God of Abraham. And he would take with him the provisions and the food and so on from his wife Khadija. And he would go there, stays for days. And then whenever his provisions ends, he would go back and get some more and seclude himself. And one of these nights, the angel Gabriel, he came down unto him while he's in the cave. And the Prophet ﷺ, he did not know what's happening. And he gets scared and worried. But then angel Gabriel, he took him and embraced him very hard and pressed him. And he said, read or iqra. And the Prophet ﷺ was illiterate. He said, "Ma'ana biqara, I cannot read. I'm not a literate person." And then he did that for three times, and then he recited the first verses that was ever revealed to the Prophet ﷺ from the Quran, which is "Iqra' bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra' wa Rabbuka al-akram, alladhi 'allama bil-qalam, 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam." The first word was "Iqra', read," right? Which is, by the way, has a great significance. This religion, the miracle of the last messenger of Allah, something to stay till the day of judgment for people to read, which is the book of Allah, and reminding the human beings that they were created from a dirty drop, and they need to humble themselves to the creator of the heavens and earth, and not to feel that they are independent or they need him, because they are in need of him with every breath they take.
I want to get this in. We got 1 minute before we have to go to break. He goes to his wife, mm-hmm. And now, what happens with his wife?
He went to his wife and he was very scared. What is this?
He didn't make some grandiose story.
Right. He told her what happened and he said, I'm afraid for myself. And she immediately, Khadija radiallahu anha, she didn't get scared like him, but she said, La wallahi, by Allah, he would never disgrace you. Meaning, Allah would never disgrace you. Why? Because she had an evidence. Because you are someone that feed the poor, take care of your kin and kith, and you're kind to others. So with these qualities, there's no way that God would disgrace you. And then she took him to her cousin, Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And this is a very also interesting topic that needs to be...
We're going to take a break. Now they went to go see another Judeo-Christian, someone who knew the scriptures, right, who knew that what the qualities would be of a messenger. And we're going to hear what this person had to say about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We'll be right back here on the Deen Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to the Deen Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Greetings of peace to everybody all around the globe that's tuning into the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
Back here on the Deen Show with Sheikh Zidan, we're talking about the last and final messenger sent to mankind, who was sent as a mercy to the world. And hopefully people get stimulated to really look into his life. Now, before we left, he went to his wife, she listed all the good qualities, she basically testified to his impeccable character, and then she went to go see her cousin, who was a Judeo-Christian, correct? Right. What'd he say? Yes.
He was a scholar in this. And when Khadija, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she took the Prophet ﷺ to him, and he said that this is an-namus, he said that word, which is, this is the same thing that has been revealed to Prophet Musa, and he referred to Moses, peace be upon him, because of the similarity of the message of Musa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, with legislations and rulings and so on. And then he told them, knowing the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of what's been mentioned in the previous books, that your people will drive you out. And he said, I wish I would be strong and healthy when your people drive you out, so that I can support you and give you victory. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, my people will drive me out? He said, yes, there's nobody came with what you came with, this message, unless his people had enmity against him. And then very soon after that, Waraq ibn Nawfal, he died, he passed away. He passed away as a Muslim. He believed, he immediately accepted the message of the Prophet ﷺ because of what he heard from the Prophet ﷺ. This is such an immediate thing because of his knowledge, of course.
That's amazing. So another testimony, and he also accepted Islam.
Immediately, yes.
And this is, people can go look this up.
Right.
This is profound. Let's go into another story. Chief rabbi, scholar of the Jews. Mm-hmm. He also had an encounter. They were obviously in that area, that region, because they were waiting for a prophet. What did he do when he heard about the Prophet Muhammad?
This was in Medina, after the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina. And his name is Abdullah ibn Salam. And he was the chief rabbi of the Jews. And he embraced Islam. And he became a Muslim. And when he embraced the deen of Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ, he had a group of the Jews with him. And he said to Abdullah ibn Salam, hide. So then after he did that, the Prophet ﷺ asked him, who do you think? What do you say about Abdullah ibn Salam, your chief? They said, he is the best of us, and he is the son of the best of us, and they praised him so much. So then the Prophet ﷺ told them to come out, and he said the shahada to them, that he became a Muslim. That he said, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Prophet Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah. Immediately they said, he is the worst of us and he is the son of the worst of us. So this shows how unfair they were when before they said that he is the best person among them. So the best person embraced Islam and followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That's amazing. A scholar, a rabbi, mm-hmm, accepts Islam. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So much more to discuss. You know, we really want to just give people a taste test. But what was now, before we end and conclude, what was this call that was something pragmatic, that it fit what the human being has inside him to identify? You know, it wasn't something farcical, something weird, bizarre. Let's talk about, just briefly in the last 2 minutes we have, this simple message that was understandable, it was believable. Talk to us about it.
And that's the miracle of all the message of the messengers. People think that they're waiting for miracles to happen physically. No, it's something that has to touch each and every one of us. And we need to really take the matter seriously and to be sincere. A messenger sent from God, he has nothing to do with his own self. He's calling people to worship the Creator of the heavens and the earth alone. Do not glorify me, do not worship me, do not think of me anything but a human being, but a messenger of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Worship him alone, turn to him alone, put your trust in him, be obedient to him. And then when you see the revelation and the orders and what is permissible and what's not permissible, a perfect way of life, the best manners that he called people to adopt. And he had it himself. He did not someone that was being a king or seeking the wealth of others or seeking status. He lived and he slept on the ground to the extent of which that the mattress made of straws would make mark on his side, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was offered to be the king and to have so much wealth to leave this. He refused and he continued to live this simple life. Sometimes he would tie 2 stones on his stomach out of the hunger, and his whole entire house would not even have a piece of date in it. This is the sign that he was someone that is doing things only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling people to the most very basic to their nature, that they're having the urge to it. And I believe everybody's watching us, you have the urge in this, that if you believe in God alone, worship him alone. And this is what the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he called the people to. And then you have the best example in him in all of your affairs and all of your life. What is more beautiful than this, and how easy that is for people to follow the truth.
So before we leave and conclude, so if you accept Muhammad, peace be upon him, as the last and final messenger, that automatically includes Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all the preceding messengers?
Right, because if you disbelieve in one messenger, you disbelieve in the one that sent them.
So if you disbelieve in Jesus, right, is that a ticket to the hellfire?
Take you outside the fold of the truth, take the person to the hellfire. Disbelieving in Moses, disbelieving in any of the messengers that God sent to humanity.
So we can safely say, I mean, look, for the people that, you know, tune in for the first time before we go, we love Jesus.
We love him more than we love our own selves.
Amazing. Thank you. Peace be with you. Thank you. Salaam
alaikum.
And there you have it. Just a glimpse into his life. Hopefully this has been enough to stimulate you to look a little bit further and do something real easy. Ask the Creator to guide you. That's the first step. We always recommend that people ask, not anyone, not putting an intermediary between you and the Creator. Ask the Creator to guide you and do some homework. If you're like most people, you get caught up with the rat race of life and you go from one party to the next and TV's numbing your mind and music, but there's something more important. You know, think about the day you're going to expire from this life and you'll be in the grave. Scary thing, you don't want to talk about it. People make jokes about it and just change the topic, but it's a reality. We're going to die, and it doesn't matter how many championships you've won, how much of the millions, trillions, and some of people work, sweat like dogs and work, and they don't even accomplish that. And then you die, and then you just lose the next life. And the next life's forever. It's paradise, but you have to plant seeds of goodness in this life, develop yourself to be the best human being possible. But you can't just do it on your whims and desires. You got to follow the blueprint that the Creator sent down through all the messengers of God. And you got to learn about the last and final messenger. So do what's in your very nature. Testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except the Creator of the heavens and earth. And Muhammad is his messenger, just like Jesus, Moses, Abraham. They were all messengers of God. And when you do this and you live by it, paradise is yours. That's right. Paradise is yours. And you avoid the hellfire. To do it right now, call this number. You might have some questions that are just tickling you inside. Ask them tough questions, but do the work. Don't go back to the war games, Grand Theft Auto, and then you just forget about all these serious things. 1-800-662-ISLAM. Call right now. Let's see if you're brave enough, tough enough. Come on, call. Ask the tough questions and see what happens. A whole new world of goodness opens up for you. We'll see you next time here in the Deen Show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and we'll see you next time here on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be unto you.